couple episodes ago, I talked about a momentary downtime with the textfiles.com machine. Well, it turned out not to be momentary. It actually was 2 weeks of downtime. So I thought I'd do a quick postmortem of what happened, what I did to correct it, and how a website I've been running for 25 years feels when I have to walk it for inspection, top to bottom. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. When I last mentioned this, it was a minor situation of a small disk issue, transient even, on the textfiles.com machine. Well, it turns out it wasn't quite as transient as I thought. In point of fact, years of indifference to the disk drive that was in there meant that it was losing inodes left and right, making up for it, patching itself, until finally it had run out of ideas. The main problem, I discovered, was that one of the sectors in the swap partition had gotten bad enough that whenever the machine had to use more than its usual allocations of memory, it would hit this bad sector and crash. What this meant was that every time the machine rebooted, it would run fine for a while until it ran into the problem. Now, getting this machine to reboot in the system that I had set up meant that there was a technician involved. His name was Spencer, and Spencer was incredibly patient and kind as I talked to him over the ensuing days and then weeks. For years, I worked at a job very similar to Spencer's, where every day was something different, every customer had a different personality, and I had to deal with whatever vague descriptions were coming by in a very, very concrete manner. It's difficult, really, to walk into a cold room full of loud fans and try to figure out exactly what's going wrong. Innovations in remotely dealing with a machine, being able to power it up, makes life somewhat easier. But problems that call you in are very rarely solved remotely. You've got to go in, take machines down, open them up, replace cards, replace memory, fix a disk drive setting, and generally find yourself sitting uncomfortably on a chair in a room that you don't want to be in for very long. Just thinking about it brings back a flood of memories when I worked at various companies and data centers, cold white floors designed for the comfort of machines and not humans, and me ignoring all of the white noise destroying my hearing, trying to fix what I would hope would be a momentary problem. Part of my empathy in dealing with Spencer was realizing that the textfiles.com utility is not life or death. People have access to basically all of the data that's on textfiles.com. I've been mirroring it for decades, ensuring that the Internet Archive and all the various mirrors have duplicate copies of anything most people would want from the site. If something couldn't be done overnight, the next day would suffice. And if it turned out that there was some sort of long-term repair where I had to, in this case, buy a whole new server, a week wouldn't move the needle. So, after dealing with multiple reboots and talking to Spencer on the phone, I figured out that after 15 years of the current configuration, perhaps it was time to upgrade. I reached out on Twitter and I asked for donations because I no longer live my life where I overextend myself financially for an idea. I put plenty of funds into various projects in the past, made do with bounce checks and missed bills, but nowadays I find it helps to ask. And so I asked for donations, and people gave me enough money for me to price out a very, very nice used server. I ordered this server, and I had it shipped to my home. Meanwhile, we kept rebooting the machine, over and over, and I tried to mirror every last byte into a second machine within the Internet Archive. The main advantage here was that even though I could recreate most of textfiles.com from backups, it didn't hurt to have a snapshot of how things were before the machine finally and truly died. I was able to get everything off of the machine except for a handful of files, so I knew what we were dealing with, and in general, we were talking about 1.6 terabytes of data. That includes textfiles.com, pdf.textfiles.com, scene.textfiles.com, all of the subsites, along with a couple of mirrors, and most importantly, a few non-web browsable inboxes, where files I should have really processed 10 years ago were sitting in subdirectories, just in case I ever found the time. And when I ordered this new machine, I tried to make it an absolute beast. Experience and cynicism has taught me that what we think of as way too much machine now is barely enough to get by within a short period of time. That said, the server I bought, a rack-mounted Dell server with 32 cores of CPU, 64 gigabytes of RAM, and 48 terabytes of disk space, seems, at this juncture, to be more than I'll ever need going forward. I got the machine, I built FreeBSD on it, and worked with the built-in hardware RAID to set up a RAID 6 configuration, giving me 34 terabytes of disk space with the ability to have two full drives go completely offline and still be able to serve data. The machine allows me to hot swap disks. You can pull them out and put them back in again, and the machine will resolve itself. It will heal. In other words, it would have been fine for running a business on. But for textfiles.com, I really do feel like I've gotten 100 times more machine than I used to. It took a couple tries reminding myself of all the different configurations I'd done over 15 years, little small choices and changes that I had done out of convenience or laziness or indifference, and then implementing them on the new system. And then implementing them, transferring the data from the online backup onto this machine, took me a few days, just the pure bandwidth of it. But within a short time, not only did I have all of the data that used to be on textfiles.com, I now had it in a brand new, fully understandable directory tree. Whereas before, hacks and methods of putting different parts of the system on different drives could be wiped away in favor of something clean. Doing this all left me with a machine with 2 terabytes of data and 32 terabytes left to fill. My first thought was what sort of dreams I had about data that I thought was precious and which I always thought should be accessible on a web address. I quickly turned to BitSavers, Al Casso's personal project to digitize as much paper as possible, BitSavers.org. For over 20 years, Al has been single-handedly scanning in endless documentation, magazines, microfilm, and making it available on his site. I'd been keeping a mirror on the site until I just simply didn't have the space. Now I did. 834 gigabytes later, here we were. Then I turned to scene.org, the heart, the center of the demo scene programs and files and music, where they had something on the order of 2.5 terabytes of data, going all the way back to the 80s, and not only including the actual demo programs, but also movies and photographs and scanned papers related to the demo scene. Like BitSavers, Scene.org was well at hand with the mirrors, but I was very committed to ensuring that there'd be at least one more. Then I turned to mirroring something that was incredibly important to me, the Stone Oak Valley Collection. Here was a case of somebody doing something so amazing, so precious, and yet not having as many mirrors as they deserved to have. What Stone Oak Valley had done was hook up an automated system to a Commodore 64 and later an Amiga that would automatically boot the machine, play some music in a player off the original hardware, the original sound chips, record them in lossless FLAC form, and then make derivative MP3s from them 24 hours a day for years. Hundreds of thousands of songs portrayed on their original hardware before that hardware was completely gone, and doing it at a scale that was industrial in nature. This archive continues to grow and is currently at around 8 terabytes of music. I had worked with them before and kept running into limits, and it was a personal moment of pride to write to them again after 6 years and say, "Well, guys, I think I can do it." I also turned my attention back to cd.textfiles.com, which, to my surprise, continues to be a touchstone of online life for thousands of people who use it to get obscure drivers and pictures and shareware, which otherwise would have been a handful of steps to do and tended to wear people down doing so. Sure, you could download the ISO, mount it, extract the file you wanted, and then close everything down, but having it one click away changes everything for people. I discovered this from the letters I received about how important it was beyond anything that cd.textfiles.com come back up again. There were 539 different CD-ROMs up on that system, and my intention is to triple it, quadruple it, put a massive amount of the full history of CD-ROM-based shareware on the site. So, there's your update. Coming back and walking through everything that textfiles.com is, especially after I had turned so much of my attention to archive.org, really gave me a perspective about how a project, over years, takes on a life of its own, and how even though you personally don't think about it, for others, it's the forefront of their thoughts day in and day out. As of this recording, textfiles.com is, basically, back. The site's structure is completely revamped, and I'm in the process of working with a number of people to have live backups located elsewhere and be able to give to them an a la carte ability to mirror the parts of the site that they think they need to run as well. The information of textfiles.com was never lost. What was lost was me understanding how much the site has continued to mean to people, and I can happily say that that has been found as well. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Mark Pilgrim, James Bekoyanu, Josiah Lusher, Emilio Oliveira, Michael Rubin, Ernie Hershey, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The site I'm talking about is at www.textfiles.com.